Good evening. My name is Lavarne Williams, and this is the Pacifica Foundation National Finance Committee meeting. Today is Thursday, July the 19th. Our meeting is scheduled for to begin at 8 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time, and the purpose of the meeting is for the National Finance Committee to review our action items and our actions to as we go into the 2008 budget planning cycle. So this evening we have on the call, we have our secretary. It will be here temporarily. So Terry, would you like to call the roll at this time, or should I?
Please do so. I'm not ready.
I'm sorry.
I don't have the list.
Okay. I don't have the list, but I can go from by station. So I should call. I will call the roll. And even before then, let me just ask, did everyone have a chance to look at the agenda?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, very good. So it starts with the roll call, or it can start with approving the agenda. The agenda that we – thank you for posting the agenda on kpfxtx.org, and there are some slight changes on there that I wanted to introduce. So I can briefly go over the agenda, and if there are changes or revisions or additions, just let me know. First is we'll do roll call, approval of minutes, scheduling the next meeting, the CFO report and preliminary 2008 budget, station build-back policy that carried over from the last meeting, review the financial policies and procedures manual, and an update on the joint committee teleconference, and just briefly review the revised manual, and also talk about the operations meeting that's scheduled during the PNB meeting in Los Angeles next week, discuss any new business, and then adjourn. So are there changes, updates, revisions to the agenda? Okay. I don't hear any, so I would like to entertain a motion to approve the agenda.
Madam Chair, I move we adopt the agenda, please.
Thank you. So, so therefore we will, the agenda is adopted. And first is that, since our secretary is not really ready, so what I will do, I will attempt to, I have no other person who would like to do this, I will attempt to take notes and then to relay those to Terry. So do I have volunteer who would like to assist me? Okay, then let's just move forward. I'll move. Okay, so we have the roll call approval. So we have minutes. Terry, did you have minutes that you would like us to approve at this time?
Yes, but I didn't hear a roll call.
Oh, I'm sorry. I jumped right ahead, didn't I? Okay, let's do the roll call. Let's start with KPFT. Okay. Sandra Rawline?
Here.
Mike Martin?
Hello.
Mike Martin is a new member of our committee. He's not available. Okay, we'll go to the CFO, Lonnie Hicks.
Here.
And KPFA, this is Lavarne Williams, I'm present. Brian Edwards Teekert. He's not available. Then we'll go to WBAI. Okay, Baruti Bedaco.
Here.
Berto Reimers. He's not here. And then for Los Angeles, we have Dave Adelson.
Here.
And Terry Goodman.
Here.
Very good. And for WPFW, the committee members are Jane, I'm drawing a blank.
Gatewood.
Okay. Jane Gatewood. Okay. And at this time, due to notification by the chair, our the other PNB member has been absent from the meeting, from our committee meeting since March the 1st, which exceeds, at this point, I think, 7 meetings. And it's been notified that due to the extended absence, consecutive absences from the committee, that Mr. Ruffin has chosen to no longer be a member of this committee. And I've notified the chair of the WPFW LSB, so we are expecting the WPFW LSB to nominate another person to be a PNB member to be on this committee. Okay.
Point of order?
Yes, please. Terry.
Yeah, the appointing authority for PNB members is the PNB, so this could be taken care of at the PNB meeting.
Absolutely, but we would definitely like the LSB to as a buy-in, too, because in terms of the motion, the motion is to notify the chair of the LSB.
Yeah, that's so that they're ready to have a nominee at the PNB meeting.
Right. Okay, then. Very good. So then what we'll do is we'll ask that nomination for a member for WPFW for the National Finance Committee to be nominated and selected at the PNB meeting in L.A.
Yeah.
Is in action. All right. Thank you. Okay. I believe I've done the roll call. Thank you. And, okay, next let's go to approval of minutes. So there are minutes.
Yeah. Terry moves approval of the minutes distributed by email in advance of the meeting.
Okay. Also, well, this is Lauren. There are a couple of minutes that I had noted some changes, particularly on the motion on the Finance Committee goals and objectives. You had as Jane Gatewood as the maker of the motion versus me as the maker of the motion. So definitely would like to change that. Is there any discussion or?
The audio of the meeting makes it sound like it's Jane who offered the motion at the meeting, even though we all know that it was your work that she just reordered. I would have no objection to changing it, and I don't think Jane would.
Okay, because you're right, because initially it came as a motion like a few meetings before then, and then we went through the process of, like you said, of reordering the priorities, and we still have the second part of that motion to address, but we can address that at another meeting or even at another meeting or next month's meeting.
So shall it be a motion from LaVarne Williams as amended on the motion of Jane Gatewood?
I don't understand that, but...
She recrafted the text, so that's an amendment.
Okay, so the motion, me as the maker of the motion, is as amended by Jane Gatewood.
Yes.
Okay, I wasn't sure that's what you had said. Okay, that sounds good to me. Or is there any discussion?
Yeah. Okay. Terry, could you send out the minutes one more time? I'm having trouble finding my copy.
Well, it should be on the list site in an email message.
Oh, yeah. I don't use that site.
Yeah, I have.
I'm not at a computer, so.
611, is that the one we're dealing with?
I think it's 524.
524. I have 611. Let me pull it up and see which one it is.
I think 611. There was the thing on about the other motion, but that's fine. When Lonnie, the motion that we have is that the meeting that we're having in L.A., which is that the Finance Committee meets with operations. So that's fine because that's the same motion we had last year, and you have Lonnie as the maker of the motion. That's fine.
I have minutes from June 7th, but I understand that's not the one that we're dealing with.
I think it's May 24th is the one that we're dealing with.
Do we have a date on that? Email date? Let's see. Okay, I see the 24th. Let me pull it up. Okay, I don't want to hold the meeting up. Go ahead. Let me just check one thing. I had a note I made on it. Were these minutes part of the ones that were presented to the board?
On the motions?
Yeah, some of the motions went forward to the board, right?
Right. I sent out a copy of that this evening, also this afternoon. Committee priorities and goals, and the other motions were the public access to station and Pacifica financial statements, the early hire of local election supervisors.
Yes, I'm looking.
It's Thomas.
Okay, let me just, one other thing. I'm trying to find where I made my note. Can't find it. I'll let it go. Okay.
Okay, so where are we? I'm sorry, you said this is Thomas Ruffin?
Right.
Okay, in fact, I just reported in that I had notified you as chair that due to the fact that you had not attended a finance meeting since March the 1st, that there's a motion that says that if you've missed three consecutive meetings that you would no longer be a member of the committee.
Yeah, well,
so
I already protested that I'm in this meeting.
Okay, all right then, thank you. Okay, so where we are now, did you get a copy of the agenda?
I got something.
Okay, fine. Okay, so where we are now is approving the minutes. So what is your position on this, Lonnie, at this time?
Well, I can't find my note. I'll let it go.
Okay, so what do we want to do? What does the committee do? You want to approve the minutes, or as Terry has requested, with the changes that I'd request? What is your position, Lonnie?
Oh,
I
say we take, my position would be let's approve the minutes.
Okay. So, Terry, where are we now with this?
Are there later minutes that I've distributed?
There is the joint, I believe the ones that I've seen are the May 24th and the June 7th.
Right. The June 7th being the joint?
No, the June 7th is the Finance Committee. The joint meeting, I believe, was like the 16th.
Okay, well, if you can confirm that there's no objection to approval of the May minutes, then we should go on to the June minutes.
Okay. Okay, are there objections to approving the May minutes as amended, or as amended by the point that I made? Okay. So there is no objections to approving May minutes. So minutes are approved. Okay, June the 7th.
I move approval of those minutes.
Okay, is there discussion, objections? Okay, I hear none. So therefore, we would say the June 7th meeting minutes are approved. Thank you. And then the other minutes that you had sent out were the minutes from the joint meeting of the Audit and Finance Committee?
Yeah, now ideally we would approve those at a joint meeting of the Audit and Finance Committee, but
absolutely,
that's having trouble reaching a quorum, so
right,
maybe we should go ahead and approve them anyway.
Well, yeah.
For our part. Point of order?
Yes, Dave.
That group doesn't exactly have any kind of formal standing. So was it officially a meeting? It seems to me that both bodies can just as easily approve their own minutes, treated as a meeting of each that was held combined. But I don't think as a body it has any formal institutional status. I could be wrong, but it seems like that'd be a reasonable way to go.
Okay, Sounds fine. So can everyone hear me just as well as earlier?
Excellent.
Yeah. Okay, fine. Terry has asked for approval of the minutes of the joint meeting of the Audit Committee and the Finance Committee from the Finance Committee perspective. So is
I'm moving approval of the version that includes the updates from Janie Ross rather than my initial distribution.
I haven't had a chance to look at those, so I would ask that we move that to the next meeting.
No objection.
Okay. Is there a discussion?
Okay, so then we'll move the minutes, approval of the minutes of the joint meeting of the Audit and Finance Committee to the next meeting of the Finance Committee. Thank you. Okay, and that goes into now the next meeting. I had scheduled the next meeting for August the 23rd. Now, this would be our regular meeting. Now, with the budget process, we will probably need to meet earlier than that. But until we establish that, is there any discussion on the regular meeting of the Finance Committee for Thursday, August the 23rd? Okay, I hear no discussion, so I'd like to entertain a motion to approve.
I do have a question. What's our deadline for approving? When do we expect the LSCs to have their budgets to us in our calendar? I don't have any of that before me, but by when are we supposed to take action on the LSC's actions?
LSC's, and we have the draft of the schedule or the timeline I have is that by the end of this month, there is supposed to be a review of the draft station budgets by the LSC's. Now, Lonnie, what is your calendar here?
Yeah, most of them have reviewed a draft. KPFK's budget was approved provisionally, and they're meeting again tonight to look it over again. KPFA, has LSC reviewed the draft yet? You would know.
I'm sorry, what did you say?
Has KPFA's LSC reviewed the draft yet?
No.
No, you mean?
No, we have a meeting this Saturday in San Francisco.
Right.
So, and actually, it wasn't on the agenda, I believe, so we'll have to add that to the agenda.
And then WBI, they have not reviewed the draft budget yet. KPFT, has that gone? I know we finished their budget. I wonder, did the whole LSB look at it, Sandra?
We finished the budget, but the LSB has not approved it yet. I believe that it's on the agenda for the meeting scheduled to take place on the 25th, but that's being preceded by the meeting to remove Delegate Freeman. So I don't know how effective we will be that evening. I know a lot of people are leaving early to attend the meeting in Los Angeles. I'm hoping that the LSB will be able to approve the meeting, the budget at the meeting that night at some point.
What's that date one more time?
That would be Wednesday, July the 25th.
Okay.
Are you taking odds on them? On that?
No. Also, the good news is that, you know, well, I guess everybody knows the outcome of the lawsuit, and when I spoke to Mike earlier this evening, he said that he hoped that all of the PNB members would read the judge's decision and bear that in mind when it comes to our future actions.
Yeah, I was trying to find that and print that out. Go ahead, Dave.
So in terms of when we're meeting, I only raise it because I just want to be sure that we're not meeting at a time when either we won't have a bunch of stuff before us that we need to proceed or that's too premature. So
no,
this
is the date, Dave. On August the 15th, On August the 15th, the CFO, Liney, is to send the final budget proposal to the National Finance Committee. So if he sends it on the 15th, on the 23rd, we should have time to review. We should have had time to review it, ask questions, and be prepared to act on it.
Thank you.
Are you still in line? Is that still a doable date?
Yeah, I'm telling stations that August 7th is the deadline.
Okay.
Tuesday. And then I have a week to look at changes, send things back if I need to, and compile all those budgets. And then I mail it to you folks by the 16th or the 17th, 3 or 4 days before that 23rd finance.
Right. Okay, so it has stretched from the 15th to the 16th or 17th, Lonnie.
Yeah, because I'm saying I need a week with those budgets because many times at the last minute LSB meetings add changes. And so I need a week to check back, to make sure those changes are real, they've been approved. And also for those LSBs to notify me officially that they have approved those budgets. It takes a week.
Yeah, and we need to talk. When we get into this, we also need to talk about the national office budget in terms of the approval needs to be the same timeline as the LSBs.
Right.
Okay, you didn't finish the stations, though, in terms of the dates. So
yeah.
KPFK, when do you expect the budget to be completed?
I got another.
Well, they're meeting tonight at 7.
Okay.
And look.
Terry, how does it look? Are you there?
Terry is here.
How does it look in terms of approval of the budget?
At KPFK?
Yes.
Well, looks good. The LSB will need to reapprove what they provisionally approved because there are significant changes that the Finance Committee will look at tonight. But I expect approval.
Okay. Okay, and who are we missing? PFW?
I'm not aware the LSB has looked at it, but the budget work is done.
Okay.
From my point of view, unless the LSB makes changes or there's some last-minute unexpected items.
Okay, we heard Thomas on the phone. When is your next LSB meeting?
What are you asking me?
When is the next LSB meeting for PFW?
Second Wednesday.
The second Wednesday, in, you mean August?
That's right.
Okay, so how does Lonnie... okay, so at that point, you will, if the LSB doesn't meet until the second Wednesday in August, and you're going to send a final budget by the 15th, I don't have a... Let me just go to the calendar. I have it right here.
Yeah, it gives me barely a week.
Yeah. Okay, so we'll just know what the dates are. All right, so let's just move forward then on the agenda, and that was to the scheduling of the meeting the 23rd. So is there further discussion on the next regular meeting of the NFC? Okay, so I'd like to entertain approval of the next scheduled meeting for the 23rd.
I'll move.
Thank you. Who was that, Lonnie?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay, thank you. Next, we want to move to the CFO report, Lonnie Higgs, and the talk about the preliminary 2008 budget. And we have a time set aside for that, more than 60 minutes. So do you want to, like, divide that up? Do you want to give us, like, an idea about how you would like to proceed with this item?
Yeah, I could.
Point of privilege?
Yes, please. Is that Dave?
Yeah, I just want to offer my thanks to Lonnie. The earliest we've ever received the draft national office budget, and it's very helpful to have it so early, so thank you.
It'll change. well, thank you, Dave. Well, I'd like to divide it into two pieces. First, the CFO report, and then the document that I'll be working with besides the CFO report is the document that's the FY08 budget. It's Pacifica Foundation 2008 consolidated budget. Okay.
Okay.
And that document has projections for 2007. Very handy. I've made some changes. This is a new document. I've given you projections, forecasts for 2007. So you can see, for example, what our listener support forecast looks like for this year. Right alongside would be audit results for 06, audit results for 05. Then I give you the monthly budget. And then to the right, you have the budget for 08. So you can see 07 directly compared to previous years in 08. All that's very good information. And then to continue on, I have included the budgets for 06 and 05 and the audit for 04. So you can see direct comparisons on every line in terms of what history has been, and also in terms of what's being forecast for this fiscal as well as next fiscal in that FY08 budget. Those documents I will be working from, the CFO report and the one for 08. But before I do, I'd like to do a quick summary of two of the headlines for each one of the documents, the CFO report, headlines, and summary, and then go right on to 08. And what I think is important to point out, so that we can then take them as large themes rather than going too far into the detail. Let's start with the CFO report, and that one I start with a comparison of the May and April results, as I normally do. We look at the previous month and the current month, and see where the changes are and what the comparisons are. But let me say this about the FY07 budget. We are experiencing difficulty in meeting board guidelines, some stations are. With that guideline is simply that we want each station and each unit to have 1 month's operating expenses at September 30th, or so that the bills for October are the funds are available, and at least a half a month, because otherwise they'll be paying September of October drive proceeds. Here's where we stand. The projection as of May, it's not that much different than April, that is, we'll end up with $736,000 against a budget of $1,129,000. That means we'll miss our goal by $392,000. Now, what does that mean? That means that the $392,000 will have to be made up somehow, or at least half of it, probably more, from some other source, or just carries over to the next fiscal year. If you look at our history, 736 is one of the lowest outcomes we've had in several years. If you look back in 06, you'll see that projection for income for that bottom line result, this is the worst showing we will have seen. For comparison, if we end this year at 736, last year, audit results, $1,268,000. Quite a difference between that and 736. And 05, audit results, $511,000 against the 736. And if you go back to 04, audit results then were $656,000. So we've been improving. But this one goes back a little bit further than we'd like to slide. The importance of it is that without the $1.5 million we spend each month, we spend $1.5 million, $1.6 million each month. So this month, September 30th, we won't have $1.6 million, we'll only have $736,000. That is a danger signal for us. Moving along, even with the 736, some stations will in fact be borrowing from their savings to make that 1 month target. That would be KPFA. We'll have to borrow $220,000 from their savings in order to make that 1 month target. And the reason they had extraordinary legal bills, let's not be coy about it. And they're large legal bills, which accounts for much of that variance. But they will have to borrow $226,000 to have on hand the money they need at the end of the year. KPFRK has a negative variance of $82,000. That is to say, they will have to borrow from their savings $82,000 or maybe half of that in order to pay bills in October. KPFT has a new transmitter which they purchased, which I found out about will end up in this fiscal, and that those costs are like $136,000. So their variance is a negative 125 because of the transmitter. Well, you know, if they didn't purchase the transmitter, they would be okay. WBAI, $272,000 negative variance, which means that they will not have a month. They will have a month minus $4,200. And that does not bode well for going into next year. That's a serious issue. And that's how the end of the year is looking on projection. I do go into the different circumstances for each station, but the major trends are that as our listener profile is flat, that is to say our revenue and our listenership goes down, we are now seeing that the network and the station are having to invade their savings in order to make ends meet at the end of this fiscal. And it will mean, as we look at FY08, and we will, that several stations are looking at reductions in staff, reductions in expenses, are looking to reorient how they do business. And it's forcing us into rethinking how we have organized the network financially. And it means that that's both have made, and certainly not good for people who are affected. And we certainly have time to do something about it since we are doing preliminary budgets here. But the preliminary report, and management is still working at these budgets, is that virtually only one station will be able to meet the one-month criteria in these FYOA budgets. We can send those back and ask for better. But right now, that's where we stand. Only one station at this point can meet that 1 month. And most stations struggle to even meet a half a month at this point. So in the FYO and the CFO report, to summarize in another way the bottom line, on page 7, where I have this section I usually have called the bottom line, surplus and excess revenue, it gives you the contrast between FY06 and the forecast of $736,000 for FY07. Our revenue will have dropped, our surplus deficit will have dropped $933,000. That's $1 million. Well, $933,000. And our expenses are only up $151,000. So it's really revenue driver. It's our revenue that's dropping. We sort of maintain the line on expenses. It's the drop in revenue that's hurting us. And that chart sort of makes that clear. So also in down below, I finished the CFO report with options for a sustainable future. That is to say, not where we'll find revenue or where we'll find cuts, but where we will find revenue and expense reductions that are sustainable. You can do one or two cuts, but unless there's a permanent component to it, it's just a year-by-year, a hand-to-mouth sort of plan. And here I identify the problems as short-term, long-term, and mid-term problems and solutions proposed. What's new, and some of you, even though it looks the same, I update it. And what's new in it is on page 11, where I was looking to identify where do you get $1 million? Where do you get $933,000? That's a terrific mountain to climb. We won't get it this year, but where next year could we make it up? There are two or three things we're looking at. I mentioned at board meetings, but there's one or two new items. A regional strategy, which we were working with WBAI to see if we can get regional mailings going and raise money that way. WBAI has a mailing that went out. So far, we've raised $18,000. The mailing hasn't broken even yet. It's $18,000 that they didn't have before. And we'll see how long it takes for them to break even. That's a mailing in which covers the New England area, the regional strategy, as I call it, asking progressive organizations in a given region to support one of our stations as the voice of progressive radio in that region. It's a marketing strategy. Local strategy is one aimed at locally. I won't go into it. A new idea is coming up with a new national program initiative. That is to say, taking seriously the idea of coming up with a new program initiative for FYOA, and there we're working furiously at, and there are several ideas on the table, and they will be part of the FYOA budget. Another idea that's new is the nationwide annual fundraiser that started with WPFW, who was celebrating their 30th anniversary, and they wanted to do a large fundraising dinner as part of their capital campaign to get a new building. And that idea got expanded to making it a national fundraising evening where other stations would join WPFW and do individual major donor dinners simultaneous to that event in D.C. and have it be webcast and to see if that could be a new way for the station, for the network, to raise funds on an annual basis. Turns out each station has an anniversary coming up at the 20th, 30th, or 40th, something like that. So the idea would be to do it over the next 5 years and have this be a permanent annual fundraising vehicle for the network. Then the last one I mentioned is the RFP process, where individuals who have ideas which can result in revenue be given seed money to try those ideas out and to encourage creative and new ways to produce revenue for the network. That's the CFO report. Then I'll close on the FY08. It is disturbing when you look at FY08.
Lonnie, this is LaVarn. Do we want to entertain questions on the CFO report before we go to FY08? Okay. Are there questions, concerns, comments on the CFO report, the first part of it?
I just had a quick question.
Sure.
Is there any contemplation in these budgets for the fact for the possibility of having to pay more money for rights to distribute content, i.e., the royalty board decision?
No, not at this time, Dave.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. This is any other questions, comments? Okay. This is Lauren. I'd like to. When you've gone through, like you had mentioned, legal bills at KPFA, so WPFW then is the only station where you're saying is will not have to borrow from their reserves. Is that correct?
WPFW.
Right.
Yes, they have. They started the year with $438,000 in cash reserves, which is almost equivalent to 3 months for them. And they will use part of that to fund in the FY08 budget, not the FY07 budget, the FY08 budget, that fundraiser.
Okay.
And we're joining with them.
So the cost of the fundraiser. So when you're given the numbers, though, you're given the cash position because the like when you were talking about Houston, KPFT, the transmitter was Capital, right?
Yeah.
So you're really in terms of their bottom line, their profit loss, though, the 125 you're saying is for the is totally transmitter, or what part of that is the transmitter?
Part of it's transmitter there too. There's a transmitter cost, and then I found out last month talking to Dwayne that the accessories needed for that transmitter also come to close over $125,000, and then they're required to do a match. So
right.
So it's cash.
Yeah. So you're saying that they've raised over how much have they raised for this transmitter?
Well, they've got their Sandra probably give more of a detailed answer, but they've raised in their dollar a watt campaign at least $75,000.
Okay. And then they need another $125,000, which include accessories for the transmitter.
Yeah. He gave me a list of capital items that not only the analog transmitter upgrade, but also their new HD capability for that HD transmitter component.
And this is the matching part with CPP?
Yes.
Okay. And so this is the part of the CPP match is that they will give the funds, but you have to raise the other part of it.
Yes, that's the catch. I tell people it's nice to get a grant, but boy, if it's a matching cash grant, then you just picked up another $75 in expense.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, we know. We're still asking for the money.
Okay.
It's trickling in slowly.
Okay. So Lonnie, what areas are like overachieving in terms of the budget for 2007?
Well, you know, there are not a lot of bright spots, but WPFW has done amazingly well. I didn't believe how they even finished with that much cash last fiscal. I checked their bank records. They have that much money. And so they're bright spots. They can afford to do this fundraising event. For the national office, we are always touch and go in our finances. Even though I can go behind the paper, but when stations have a bad drive, and this has happened to W and it's happened to A, and to another station as well, they don't quite reach goal, it automatically reduces the budget at the national office. It is, we lost $80,000 as a result of the of stations not doing as well as they would have liked to do. So we're not a bright spot. What else is T is holding its own, but it has a cash issue with having to match cash up with that for those transmitter costs. APFK I'm worried about because KPFK 3 years ago I think had $450,000 in cash reserves, and they're down to $150,000 to $200,000. over the last 2 years that cash reserve has shrunk. KPFA, as you know, they have always maintained a $900,000 sort of cash reserve. Remember, it's not a cash reserve in terms of, like, you know, you have it on hand. This is the total amount of cash and savings the station has accumulated over 60 years. So it's everything they've ever produced. It's not like a one-year deal. But what they're starting to do, which is we'll have to deal with it, and the management is aware of it, they're going to have reductions at that station and staffing. They're going to have to dip into that to $220,000 this year and at least $75,000 to make the FY07 budget balance only to a half month. They won't be able to even balance to a full month. So those are...
Okay, let me just interrupt right there. You talk about KPFA. Now, last year at this time, we did the same thing. We said that there would be a freeze in hiring, and we were at 42 FTEs, full-time equivalent in terms of the headcount, and then we were supposed to be at 38. Now, the last report, I'll have to look at the one that Brian gave us, we were, like, again, at 42, whereas, you know, where did the four people go, you know, four people back in there? So, and so what you know, when we say reduction, then, you know, we really need to have the headcount on these charts again to understand.
Well, you look at KPFA's salary projection. They had wanted to reduce expenses by $50,000, at least that was in the budget. And on the salary side, they will reduce expenses by $28,000. But next year, that is FY08, they have a reduction at $143,000 in staffing, and that's part of their budget. But even with that number, they will still have to take money from savings. So that's why it's a delicate situation. And as I say, this year, partly what happened is they had over $200,000 illegal, and that's a conservative number. So it exacerbated an already difficult situation for KPFA. Okay, FY08. LaVon, should I move on?
I'm sorry. I had to step away for a second. Oh, I'm sorry. What was the question?
Is that all on FY07 for you?
Let me ask you about the other areas, like what's happening with archives and with the affiliates.
LaVon, before you go there, can I ask a follow-up question to your point just now?
Sure. Go ahead.
How is the question of hiring monitored and at what level? In other words, so I put in a budget that has as a manager, a headcount of 42, a total headcount of 42, or the equivalent of 42 people working full-time. How is that monitored if I, as a manager, decide during the year that I need three more people? I just go and hire them? Is it something that I discuss with the CFO first? I know that we've said in the past that changes between budget categories of less than 10% don't require any formal approval. But in real life, Lonnie, how does it work when managers decide they want additional staff that wasn't in the budget?
Yeah. Well, there are two or three. We operate with a guideline that changes in any category, in staffing, administrative, development, program. Above 10% must be notified to finance and the LSP. Under the 10%, it still has to be notified it doesn't require approval, but many times if it's significant staffing change, we're not talking about changing hourly people because those things go up and down, but adding on significant staff, when I notice it, I will review it, call up the manager, and ask, if anything goes up, you must compensate by reducing expenses somewhere else. And generally, we don't add staff during the year. That's sort of comparatively rare. So it seldom comes up, at least as far as I know about. The headcounts don't vary that much. But they vary between September and October as people anticipate new monies for staff. I have said that you look at the salary budget, the cost has not varied from budget that much for 07. And so they've held the line on expenses. It's just that they have not been able to meet the revenue goals. And that's where we, and the legal, unexpected legal, that's been partly the story for FY07.
Well, I guess what I'm curious about is whether it would make sense to say something like, if it's not in the budget, you can't hire permanent personnel. In other words, that personnel, given that staff costs are such a significant and consistently rising portion of our costs, should there have to be some formal procedure before permanent personnel can be added to the payroll?
Absolutely, Dave. I'm glad you brought that up because I have said to all the station managers, and the same thing will apply to the national office, we cannot afford to hire on any permanent new staff in FYLA. This budget that I'll before you assumes flat salaries with one exception.
Right. I understand. But I'm wondering, could you get with the managers and could we get a recommendation for what that process should be?
Yes. I would want the support of the committee to do that. And we can fashion a motion. And I have it be a part of our process. I think it's absolutely essential to hold the line on expenses, especially in staff, for FY08. And these budgets that I have before you assume that the staff not only no salary increases, but most and two or three stations reduction. That is what is and WBAI both have significant staff reductions in those budgets for FYLA. And I think that we need to have it across the board. There's only one exception. That would be KPFK, which has strong union provisions. And EVA did not want to forego the union staff increases. But certainly I'm recommending it for management across the board.
Okay, and so are there other questions, Dave? Is there a follow-up? Okay.
I'm going to FY08 now, detail what I was just
talking. Let me just go back. So I just wanted to know, what about the other areas? You talked about national office, but what about archives and affiliates? How are they doing this year?
Well, affiliates is doing okay this year, but the affiliate folks want more staff and money. And that's a problem, and we've been trying to work it through. It's difficult. And my position right now is that we can't afford any increases in permanent staff, and we have to be very careful, and we won't know how much money that we will even have at the national office until the stations finish their budget. So I'm assuming a flat budget at the national office, no increases, until we see how the revenues go. And that would be my recommendation for the national office. No increases for management, no increase in staff. And no increase to the bottom line. So I'm encouraging everyone, rethink what you're doing so that we can do more with the same or less. And it may be with less, because if the stations don't meet their revenue targets, we will then have to go back, even after the October drive, and look to reduce. So we have to stay flexible, be prepared to reduce expenses on short notice.
Okay, so how did archives do?
Archives are not doing well financially at this point. One of the key this year and next year are three drivers. One is being able to do the two-day on-air drive. That forms a significant part of their revenue, and we are talking with general managers to be able to do that. It's very important that Archives be able help support itself through its two-day on-air broadcast. We're also negotiating with Bob Fast, who is a longtime programmer at WBAI, to purchase some of enormous numbers of tapes he has going back years. And the goal would be to create a premium centered around 1968 and be able to use that enormous material not only as a part of our archives, but to create new premiums that could be useful to the stations and useful to the archives in terms of increasing its revenue. The difficulty with archives now, at least as they would have it, is they are being impacted by the downturn in listeners impacted by Democracy Now! And impacted by their feeling that a number of the stations are not buying the premium that they normally do, with the exception of KPFK, who've been very supportive, and that other stations are not buying archive premium. And therefore, you can see it in these numbers. We look at sales for the archives. You can see the dip. It used to be $140,000. And now the number of premium sales that stations are buying from the archives has dipped from 140, a high of 140. And I'm looking at that number right now, whereas it's down to $54,000 for this year, 07, a loss of the $90,000. That has an impact on PRA. It's a struggle.
Okay, thank you. So are there other questions about 07 status? So just briefly then, you had given us a summary of the headcount, I guess, for the first quarter. Do you have the total headcount, including the full-time equivalents, for the second quarter for Pacifica?
No. No, remember I said I would do it last time, but the business managers and the GMs are much better capable of doing it. I could try with them, but, you know, they're the better source than I am. I'll be happy to nudge them along if you like. But if you can talk to, let us see, you know, Lois or Lim, and say, what's the headcount? I'm sure Lois is producing it in her budget, as I recall.
Oh, yes, yeah, she has headcount. So we need to do some motion, though, because, you know, I can't just call up every business manager and say, give me the headcount. We need some process in here as to make that as you know, and when they turn in their numbers every month or their payroll sheets every month, there should be a headcount number on there.
Yeah.
So, you know, do a motion at the national office, national level, in the PNB to
you
say
did
that.
You when did want to know
turn
it
in
was for the GMs to produce those numbers. That's
I'm sorry? What's that?
We did a motion, and I recall it was for the GMs to produce the headcount.
Well, it's not working. I mean, so... We need to do it, you know, the easiest way, and I guess we can talk about. I'll ask to put that on the agenda for the joint meeting on Thursday, the 4 p.m. meeting.
Yeah,
you know, how best to produce the headcount, because the simplest way I see it is that you turn in a payroll sheet every month and you have your headcount on there. I mean, what's the big deal?
Well, the hourlies are the big deal because they vary from. You know, they vary. You see the salaries. How much salaries vary with how many hourly people they have, how many people they use on a drive.
Yeah, I mean, it's just a picture in time. That's all it is. I mean, you know, it's just a picture in time, and that's all you want to know. At the end of the month, there are X number of people there. I mean, of course, it's going to vary. I mean, people are leaving and moving and whatever.
Well, let's start with those general managers on Thursday. I think that's the way to start.
Yeah, but I mean, it has to be something practical. I'm just often the solution would be to do it is to make that part of your when you turn in your payroll.
I know that's what you're suggesting. But I'm saying, look, they can give me any number they want, but I don't have a way of verifying it.
You can verify it off the payroll report.
That takes care of salary people, but it doesn't take care of the hourly people or anybody they got as a consultant.
Right. Okay.
I
yep.
need to know, you know, that you know, switching by to someone from salary consultant is one of the things that people do, and then you find out months later that the consultant has been there, and it looks like the headcount is not accurate. So I think we have to have the commitment of those general managers on the process, how they will do it, and how it can be verified.
Right, right. And the process to do it. And yeah, the election supervisor has offered a proposal in terms of counting. The people who are the the unpaid staff. So, you know, we can when the perhaps the election supervisor will be at that meeting. Should we invite that person?
Yeah, we might need a process and a verification.
Yeah.
Agreement on how we're going to verify whatever data we get. Then
right.
I'm more comfortable. But right now, it's hit or miss.
Okay. Those are my questions. Are there other questions, concerns?
I'm itching to do 08 because I'm nervous about 08.
Okay, let's go.
Well, 08 is right now a walking disaster. Here's why. Let's go to the 08 data on the summer on the consolidated side. And, you know, right now it looks like we will produce and listener support 11,888,000. Last year we produced 12 million, roughly 100,000 support. In 05 we produced 12,081,000. Our listener support dollars are going down. Now you compare what we actually produced this year, 11,888,000, to what the budget is calling for, 13,273,000. Well, you see that's a jump. So I think that the stations will have to review their revenue and listener support numbers, and they will likely go down. Okay, so the bottom line that we have going for 974,000 will likely go down to 700 or 8 or 7 or maybe even $600,000, which is not great, a bottom line. The second area that I would point out, and I'm reading from this document, Pacifica Foundation 2008 Consolidated Budgets, I'm on row 9, and I'm going to make my way down down the spreadsheet as we go. The second area is in the area of donations. We're projecting $1.8 million in donations for 07, and that's accurate, but 08, only $863,000. And the reason is that people are not able to project as much funds from their major donors, but also we had a couple of gifts, $600,000, $700,000, $800,000 in gifts. Well, those gifts are not projectable for 08, and therefore you see $1 million drop in donation in the budget for donations. That's an error for our concern, because we may not have the gifts in 08 that we luckily got in 07. So that's a number to watch. So overall, the revenue figures will likely change in this preliminary budget from the next time we see them. I'll skip the total income and go right to salaries. We're going to spend $8.6 million in salaries and related, including taxes, health benefits, and child care and consultants. So let me start with gross salaries without the taxes, without all the rest of it, so you can see what gross salaries do on their own. We will spend $6.4 million on gross salaries this year. The budget for next year has that number going down to $6.255 million, $150,000 drop. Stations have reduced their budget for salaries between 07 and 08. That is true if you look at total salaries and related, $8.6 million for 07. That's what we will likely spend according to my forecast. And we're budgeting $8.4 million for next year, 08. So salaries are definitely being reduced, offsetting the reduced income we're expecting from the listener support line. Administrative expenses, the board, our favorite. Board expenses this year, including LS, the local station board expenses, lab elections, board meeting and travel, board legal, conference calls, etc. My forecast says the board plus local lab elections, $448,000. This year, slightly down, $436,000. Not as much savings as we had hoped for with the election hiatus occurring. So it's down marginally by $11,000 or $12,000. Hopefully that'll change. Administrative, which has three big ticket items in it, premium costs, legal costs, and rental costs, where you have WBAI and stations that rent. WPFW is among them. Let's look at the first item, legal. This year, all stations and units, we will spend $345,000 in legal. Next year, hopefully, fingers crossed, we've budgeted $189,000. That number may or may not stand the test of the next few weeks as we look at our legal situation. Insurance expenses always going up, $200,000. Bank charges, which is the cost for processing our fund drive dollars. Not much we can do about office rental, not much we can do about that number, not much we can do about utilities. Expenses, total administrative expenses, including the board, $3.6 million, or 359, I rounded to 3.6. this year and maybe 3.5 next year, down $100,000. Programming, which includes Democracy Now, $562,000 is what we'll spend on Democracy Now, FY07. I am not budgeting an increase on Democracy Now next year at this point. Negotiations are ongoing. A large number would be, let me see what's controllable. Programming services. Nope, that's not it. Other programming. Other programming is $201,000, which we spent this year. And what I want to point out is that is a large increase in what we have traditionally spent in programming.